The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Wednesday, January 24th, 2007. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In agricultural news, USDA says no decision has been made yet on whether to go forward with an environmental study of CRP acres. Also, trade ministers are gathering this weekend in Switzerland with one goal: to restart world trade talks. I'll have details of these and other stories this half hour. And we'll hear what President Bush had to say about alternative energy in a State of the Union address and get some reaction from corn industry officials. It's all on the Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Wednesday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. March wheat, 486 and three quarters, down 14. May, 494 and three quarters, down 11 and three quarters. March wheat at the Board of Trade, 466, down 14 and a quarter. May, 480, down 13. July, 488, down 12 and a quarter. March corn, $4 and three quarters, down 8 and a quarter. May, 412 and a half, down 7 and three quarters. July, 418 and a half, down 7. December, 397 and three quarters, down 5. March beans, 715, down 12 and a quarter. May, 730 and a half, down 11 and a half. July, 743 and a quarter, down 11 and a half. November, 760. 66 and three quarters, down 11 and three quarters. March soybean meal, 208.40, down 190. March soybean oil, 29.23, down 70. At the Merck, January feeders, 94.70, up 25. February live cattle, 89.85, up 27 and a half. February lean hogs, 62.82 and a half, up 102 and one half.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic Farm Marketing is now holding a series of risk management seminars throughout Illinois and Indiana. Information on seminar dates and locations is available at sfarmmarketing.com or 800-383-0046.
Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hi, Dave.
What do you make of the market today?
Well, a couple things. You know, the stock market's acting great, and we did see a big U-turn in the energy market. The energies did close higher, and we continued to see a choppy trade in the grains, and that included corn, soybeans, and wheat. Commodity funds were liquidators of corn, soybeans, and wheat, and soybean oil and soybean meal. Pricing was rumored in the soybean market of Chinese buying of South American soybeans. The export sales tomorrow are basically guessed at some pretty good activity in sales. There was even an official news item out of the Chinese news agency that China will not be able to meet its grain production targets here in the future. I think the big thing here is, as we said, choppy. We've talked about the major farmer selling all fall, the continuation of the selling and movement of grain into the marketplace, and the market is choppy here at this higher levels, and this is something that I guess a seasoned commodity trader should understand. It's hard for anyone to understand it, much less a seasoned commodity trader.
I guess much of the action today in the options pits, Paul, with some spreading as the feature?
You know, that's a good point. There was some good activities in that, and also this continuation of selling the nearby, buying the deferred. Some people are expecting that as the Goldman rule. Some people say it's buying acres. Some people feel it's adequate cash supply. It's hard to understand. I guess if I had to err here, I would say the 24, 25 days of old crop corn supply, it's a hard one for me to really say that old crop corn should be that weak in relationship to new, but hey, it's part of the marketplace.
Is that because it's mostly in the hand of the commercials at this point?
I think that's a answer, and I think the rest of the answer would fall in the place that the end user hasn't bid the basis up enough to encourage it to go the other direction. And that will take place in time. I think that what it's really telling us is that the cash market has an adequate supply of inventory at this time. It's the same answer, but a little different. Mm-hmm. Twist.
I see what you're saying. March corn came back a little bit, almost completely filled the gap that was left over after the 20-cent rise, and then we had the rise the following day. There's a little tiny 1-cent gap left back in the chart there. And you were talking about seasoned traders, and I suppose if you're a seasoned trader, you're probably not getting too bent out of shape about this.
Well, one thing that we hear about in the commodity world is the idea of important benchmarks, and it did close above that important benchmark of $4. I had three or four traders mention that they wanted the corn to close above that level, and we saw it. We did get the feeling that with the energy market coming back, that we would see a small technical rally in the corn. And it didn't happen. So it is this time where people are selling out commodities. We did see good rains in Argentina and the Argentine growing areas. So it is a situation where just sitting back and looking at subtle things like the spreads widened, you know, that's somewhat bearish. The market closed lower. That was somewhat bearish. And, of course, we did see it did close above the $4 level. That's somewhat positive on the technical side.
So maybe a wash between the bears and the bulls and the corn pit, at least at the moment. Turn your attention to the soybeans, where if you're a chartist, I suppose you might want to make the argument that we're beginning to see a pennant formation develop here.
Yeah, those are always wonderful formations. Couple things. Pricing seems to be active. There is business going on, and with China and South America, China's been a very good buyer of soybeans. Crush margins seem to be good to excellent. Farmers continue to sell beans at the $7 mark. And once again, it was a case where people wanted to lighten the boat, so to speak, and they also lightened it in the soybean complex as well. My hunch here is if we get more corn acres, maybe 7 to 8 million, we'll have that many acres left soybeans. There is a tremendous carry in the soybean market. Spreads really haven't been as aggressively traded in the beans as in the corn here recently. My general impression is that marketing $7 cash beans probably isn't the worst thing to do. And I think we will continue to see a gradual marketing of beans here as that we get to that level and a slightly higher.
And quickly turn your attention to the Merck, where hog prices did some nice things today.
We continue to see this general feeling that hogs got beat up pretty bad, and now we're starting to see price improvement. We do have more hogs than we had a year ago. We have more cattle. Feed usage should be good. Our general impression is that hogs probably are a little cheap here in relationship to the other commodities. And at some point in time, we do expect that corn will force new crop hogs, particularly a year from now, to higher levels.
Thank you much, Paul.
Have a profitable day, and always nice talking to you.
You too. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He is in Oakland, Illinois. Taking a look at Mike Sola's Tuesday forecast tonight, mostly cloudy with widely scattered flurries. Lows ranging from around 10 in northwestern Illinois to 26 degrees in southern Illinois. Then tomorrow, in northern and eastern Indiana, mostly cloudy with flurries and a few snow showers. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny, highs ranging from 20 in northern Illinois to 38 degrees in the far south. The extended outlook, a weather system will work its way across the area this weekend, resulting in light snow starting Saturday afternoon in the north and ending in the southeast late Sunday. Conditions behind the system will be windy and sharply colder. In agricultural news, the latest numbers from USDA say that landowners have already re-enrolled or extended contracts on about 80% of the eligible acres expected to retire in the Conservation Reserve Program between now and the fall of 2010. That's 22.7 million acres out of the 28.4 million that could go into production. The numbers suggest that unless USDA offers a special opt-out program that reduces penalties, landowners see little incentive to get out of the CRP. A spokesperson for USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says no decision has been made on whether to go forward with an environmental impact study, the first step in waiving opt-out penalties. Such a study could take months, meaning it's very unlikely that there will be an opt-out program for the 2007 growing season. A USDA official says for the 2008 crop, decisions have to be made this summer. The Illinois Soybean Association is hoping consumers will buy into cleaner-burning biodiesel gas that the state is producing. They are encouraging farmers to promote fuel made with soybeans by putting up signs along the highway. Krista Kokowski reports.
The signs first began appearing 2 years ago to raise awareness of biodiesel. The Illinois Soybean Association is hoping that the number of signs will double from last year. Similar to the famous Burma Shave-style road signs decades ago, these contain phrases promoting the benefits of a homegrown fuel. Julie Tuhill is a spokesperson for the Soybean Association.
Biodiesel is good for the economy. It provides jobs. It also provides markets for crops that we grow here in the state. It's good for the environment, and that's that it reduces harmful emissions. And it's good for energy security. It helps to reduce our dependence on foreign oil.
And while the signs could show up statewide, they are specifically targeted to central Illinois, including Decatur, which is home to the 2007 Farm Progress Show. Tuhill is hoping the signs will also influence state lawmakers as they travel back and forth to the Capitol. I'm Krista Kikowski.
Trade ministers from four major world agricultural exporters plan to hold separate meetings this weekend in Switzerland, apart from the World Economic Forum that will include officials from many more countries. At the smaller conference, U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab will be meeting with her European counterpart, European Trade Commissioner Peter Mandelson, as well as with trade officials from Brazil and India. The goal will be to restart world trade talks. The current discussions appear to be focusing on a proposal by Brussels to cut barriers to agricultural products by an average of at least 54%, and a conditional offer by the U.S. to cut its cap on domestic farm subsidies to about $17 billion, or about $5 billion below the current U.S. offer. The Vice President for Agricultural Services at the Association of Equipment Manufacturers says sales in 2006 were a little slower than the previous 2 years, but still respectable. Charlie O'Brien says the industry saw just a small decline in 2006.
Combine sales last year, although reported to be down 8% from the previous years, when you look at that number, what you need to look at is really kind of the history behind that. And 2005 was the best year that we had over the last 8 years. And the same story for tractors as well.
O'Brien says good crop prices and a strong economy led many farmers to buy new equipment in 2004 and 2005, leading to lower demand last year. As for 2007, O'Brien says higher corn prices and the growing ethanol market will, surprisingly, not result in significantly greater sales of tractors and combines.
Based on what the members are reporting and some variations within the individual categories, but for the most part, predicting it to be similar in nature to what we've seen last year.
O'Brien says his members predict interest rates and farm income will hold steady or even fall a little this year, but about 40% think the number of planted acres will increase. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
President George Bush's State of the Union address was heavy on alternative energy sources. He mentioned electricity and battery research, solar and wind energy, nuclear energy, hybrid engine research, clean biodiesel and coal energy, and new methods of producing ethanol.
Extending hope and opportunity depends on a stable supply of energy that keeps America's economy running and America's environment clean. For too long, our nation has been dependent on foreign oil. This dependence leaves us more vulnerable to hostile regimes and to terrorists who could cause huge disruptions of oil shipments and raise the price of oil and do great harm to our economy. It's in our vital interest to diversify America's energy supply. The way forward is through technology. We must continue changing the way America generates electric power by even greater use of clean coal technology, solar and wind energy, and clean, safe nuclear power. We need to press on with battery research for plug-in and hybrid vehicles and expand the use of clean diesel vehicles and biodiesel fuel. We must continue investing in new methods of producing ethanol. Using everything from wood chips to grasses to agricultural wastes. We made a lot of progress thanks to good policies here in Washington and the strong response of the market. And now even more dramatic advances are within reach. Tonight I ask Congress to join me in pursuing a great goal. Let us build on the work we've done and reduce gasoline usage in the United States by 20% in the next 10 years. When we do that, we will have cut our total imports by the equivalent of 3/4 of all the oil we now import from the Middle East. To reach this goal, we must increase the supply of alternative fuels by setting a mandatory fuel standard to require 35 billion gallons of renewable and alternative fuels in 2017. And that is nearly 5 times the current target. At the same time, we need to reform and modernize fuel economy standards for cars the way we did for light trucks and conserve up to 8.5 billion more gallons of gasoline by 2017. Achieving these ambitious goals will dramatically reduce our dependence on foreign oil, but it's not going to eliminate it. And so as we continue to diversify our fuel supply, we must step up domestic oil production in environmentally sensitive ways. And to further protect America against severe disruptions to our oil supply, I ask Congress to double the current capacity of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. America's on the verge of technological breakthroughs that will enable us to live our lives less dependent on oil. And these technologies will help us be better stewards of the environment. And they will help us to confront the serious challenge of global climate change.
President George Bush, speaking on alternative fuels during Tuesday evening's State of the Union address. Agricultural industries reacted favorably to the president's call for 35 billion gallons of ethanol by 2017. National Corn Growers First Vice President Ron Littner.
Corn is only going to be a part of that, of course, but we think we are up to the challenge. It's going to be unique opportunity for corn growers across the country to step up the plate and produce the corn. But again, cellulosic is going to be a part of this. Butanol can be a part of this. There's going to be and biodiesel according to it, too. So there's a number of biofuels that are going to come into play in those numbers.
Littner says NCGA is confident corn feedstocks can produce 15 billion gallons of ethanol by 2015, while still having enough for U.S. livestock and export markets.
Support for WILL is provided in part by Risk Management Commodities, presenting an Agricultural Outlook meeting on Saturday, January 27th, from 9 a.m. to noon at the Holiday Inn in Terre Haute, Indiana. Lunch will be provided. More information is available at 866-837-9027.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon, Kay.
Well, a good cold afternoon to you, Dave.
Yeah, burr is the optionable word today, optionable word. I don't know how to say this, but it's cold out there.
We get the general idea
anyway.
Yeah,
you get the general idea. Quotes at the Gulf are relatively soft against spot futures. I was looking at them today. Corn is 30 to 31 under, soybeans 25, soft red winter wheat 15-ish or thereabouts. Are these prices also holding up similarly in the interior?
You know, as farmers move corn into this market, as prices go up or down or whatever, you're going to see this basis fluctuate quite a bit. But then once they decide to slam the bin doors, you'll see this basis explode to the upside. I fully believe that. But right now, the rail basis levels have improved to where they bottomed out. But they're very slow to recover because, you know, farmers are still moving stuff in. They still need money for input costs. But if they bear with it long enough, believe it or not, you're going to get a pretty good rebound in the basis levels, Dave.
Explain what the time frame for that might be.
Probably, I'd say, within the next 2 to 3, 4 weeks, you know, because they're going to be thinking more about planning and they're going to have most of their input costs paid for. So I'd say we're going to start seeing an improvement here within the next couple of weeks would be my guess.
So there might be some good selling opportunities just ahead.
I think so. This is going to be, this is an unprecedented year, the one that it's uncharted waters, and, you know, you're just going to see a lot of new events happening, and already, even though we're not necessarily at rationing levels, you know, Japan is crying uncle. They don't want to, they're not going to buy as much corn from us. They have been buying 93% of their corn has been coming from the United States. The feeders are backing off, so you're going to see this demand for corn other than ethanol dwindle pretty quickly. So, you know, you're just going to see a lot of volatility the rest of the year.
Your prices today?
All right, our cash corn is $3.77, beans are $6.76, and new crop wheat is $4.13.
Thanks, Kay.
Thanks, Dave.
Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. And in about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner about the weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Illinois utility regulators say they want Ameren to come up with a plan for fixing damaged poles and other problems that contribute to power outages. At its meeting in Chicago today, the Illinois Commerce Commission heard from inspectors who found code violations, broken poles, exposed wires, bird nests in poles, and inadequate tree trimming last summer. The report says Ameren is improving on service interruptions, but not fast enough. Two Illinois state workers fired for manipulating the employment process are claiming pressure to hire politically connected applicants started in Governor Rob Blagojevich's office. Don DeFrates and Michael Casey filed documents with the Civil Service Commission today showing intervention by the governor's personnel office on several hires. They face a hearing next week on charges that got them fired last spring from the Department of Central Management Services. A Blagojevich spokeswoman describes the emails as incomplete correspondence. In Indianapolis, state legislators approved a bill to implement statewide full-day kindergarten in Indiana today. The proposal does not include a plan for funding the program. A bill now being considered by the Indiana Senate proposes to phase in full-day kindergarten, starting with the state's neediest children this year. Champaign-Urbana's cable public access channel is looking for people who want to make their own TV shows. A UPTV open house tonight at the Urbana City Council Chambers offers a chance to try out cameras and editing software and talk with staff about programming ideas. UPTV's Callie Boyden says while many have shown interest in producing their own TV shows, not everybody is ready for the time commitment such projects require. Chicago-based Exelon says it earned a $592 million profit in the fourth quarter. That compares with a loss of $837 million during the same period last year, when results were hurt by a $1.2 billion charge related to its ComEd unit. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Are parts of Brazil beginning to trend too wet?
Oh, absolutely. It's been a crazy few weeks here. Daily rains that haven't just been light, but have been soakers. Actually, the last two or three days, we've actually seen that the rain intensity has subsided somewhat, but we still have an awful lot of surface moisture that's still moving through their river systems, and my guess is there's still a considerable amount of flooding going on in some parts of the production region. Now, the precipitation will continue on a daily basis as we go through this next full week to 10 days, and there will be at least one more round of heavier rainfall, which will probably evolve during the weekend and early part of next week before we start seeing perhaps a new trend towards a little less frequent, less significant rainfall, which would probably evolve at the end of next week going into the following weekend. That's a long way out, and the cloudiness and the wet weather, even some of the cooler temperatures that have occurred here recently, may be eating up some of our yield potential in some of these areas. The states that are being impacted most significantly is Sao Paulo, southern Minas Gerais, and neighboring areas of both eastern Mato Grosso do Sul and southernmost Goiás. Now, these areas will have an opportunity to see enough improved weather later this month, actually later in February, that we might make back some of that yield potential loss. But don't get too caught up in this, though. I don't want to sway anybody in the wrong direction. Brazil's still going to have a good production year. Ideal yields are going to come out of the south, and also near normal yields will occur across Mato Grosso. And so we're only talking about a small hit here. It's nothing that's going to have a huge impact, nothing like a drought would have had on this country.
Argentina probably has had a little better of it overall, if you look at the big weather picture, than Brazil. Is that going to continue?
Absolutely. It does look like it will. We've seen timely precipitation occur across that country, and it is continuing, at least in the two-week forecast coming up. The bottom line is there are no problem areas in Argentina any longer, and whatever problems we had earlier on will not have any kind of significant impact on their production. It'll be a good year for them.
Here's deja vu all over again. No rain yesterday in India, and I don't know how many days I've been saying that.
That's right. India's been dry really since the planting season, and they irrigate about 40% of their wheat crop, and the rest of it's dry land, and that means that obviously 60% of the crop is vulnerable to some problems, especially right about now. We are moving into the reproductive cycle. This is the time of the year that We reproduce wheat as well as rapeseed across the country. Mustard and also sorghum are all reproducing at this time of the year. And during February is the absolute critical most period of time. And if we don't see rain during that period, we're going to see some dramatic declines in production potential.
It appears that some very cold weather is heading across the Corn Belt, but just where it hits and when are still up in the air?
That's right. The forecast models have not come into very good agreement about this cold surge coming on. The thing that I continue to rely on most is twofold. Number one, we have a trend model that we run here at World Weather Incorporated, and that trend model has been focused on the February 3rd time period, probably really the 2nd through about the 4th. During that 3 or 4 day period, we should end up seeing some of the coldest weather of the season occur across portions of the plains in the Midwest. And then a little bit of a warm-up after that and more colder weather coming in around mid-February. That's coming from our own model. Now, from the various National Weather Service models, there doesn't seem to be quite as much agreement as to when the coldest air will be here and or where it will be. But we do expect the second week of the two-week forecast to trend quite a bit colder across the country, and there's a fairly good chance that we'll see additional snowfall across much of the Midwest and portions of the plains as we move into that colder air.
Thanks, Drew.
Have a good day.
Drew Lerner, Senior Agricultural Meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that's today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey.